Well, I've been drifting, lifting my mind with these spliffs and you're realizing just what I'm missing.
Come in, friends, to the next episode of Joe Kelly's Van Chronicles. I am coming to you live from Scott Avenue here on the east side of Nashville, Tennessee. I say live even though all of this is recorded, but I'm doing it live. I'm sitting watching a gentleman walk his golden retriever right now. Well, he's wearing a hat with a red backpack and a ponytail. He's got the world against him right now. Everything else in his life seemed good until he turned around and that ponytail was bobbing behind him. It's no good. Can't be a man with a ponytail. Not a very strong one, anyway. It represents weakness. Because in nature, a ponytail is used for a handle. So the only reason to wear a ponytail on your head is if you're trying to attract someone looking for a handle. That's nature. It's in our genes. We don't pay attention to that anymore, and then we walk around looking like boneheads, you know? I'm trying to clean up my insults, so I'm bringing back boneheads, knuckleheads, nitwit, also a good insult. Dummy, still a really fun one. Always good. It's going to be a great time this episode, I guess. I don't know. I kind of have an idea of what I want to do. Oh, yeah, I'll mention this, too. This episode's going to be fun. I'm going to kind of go into why I live in my van, just because I think it's kind of an interesting topic. People have questions about it. Strangers do. And as predicted in the last episode, I no longer have a job. So that's going to be a great segue into this whole podcast. Don't have a job. Just stopped going in. I'm recording this on Sunday, whatever the day is. I think it's still January. Might be the 31st. But I didn't go in Friday, so a couple days ago, because I had a show in Paducah, Kentucky with my good friend Monty Mitchell at Paducah Beer Works. Great brewery in Paducah. If you ever get a chance, go stop by. The IPA was really nice. It was a really cool venue. It was a cool show. Anybody who gets a chance to either check out that show or do some time on it, do it. It was a lot of fun. They had a real good crowd there. But I had found out that we were going to do that show at the beginning of the month, so I tried to get some time off, or I just requested the days off. I put on the calendar that I wasn't going to be there, that I was going to be out of town, and they still scheduled me. Then I got somebody to cover my shift on Friday, but then the manager wouldn't let her because the manager needed her shift covered, even though I had already got mine covered first. And I was like, well, I'm just not going to come in because you don't seem to think that... I was also told that the restaurant is the most important thing in our lives, and that's just not true with me. Comedy is the most important thing to me. It's everything. It's the only thing right now. I love it. It's the only thing I want to do. So to think that it's like it's not important, or that I'm gonna, or that you're not gonna give me a couple days off because I'm going out of town, I just didn't go in. And it could have been, to be honest, it could have been easy to come back because we left Thursday and did the show Thursday night. We started a little bit after 8. So we were probably done by like 10 or something like that. You know, we ended up getting a hotel and it wasn't even that late. It might have been like 11:30, 12 by the time we got our hotel, which isn't super late. So in theory, after the show ended, we could have drove the hour and a half back and I would have been in Nashville. But I did it for the principal, people. I did it because I needed to stand and prove a point that I don't need biscuits in my life or waiting tables. Because comedy is more important. Or money. Don't need money. Not right now, anyway. Because, again, live in a van. So it's really easy to quit your job. People, I feel like, are afraid to walk away from their job. Because even if they don't like their job, just because of their life's circumstances. You know, you got bills and a house. And sometimes you got kids to feed and all sorts of shit. Whereas I don't have that. So, you know, if you keep pissing me off, and while I'm at work, I'll go, this isn't working out. Then I can just bounce out. And it doesn't really affect my life that much. Well, I saved up enough money right now that I'm okay. Like, I don't want to drain through the money that I saved up just to piss it away fucking off around town, drinking and eating out all the time. Heh, heh, heh. That don't cost money when you're me. Heh, heh, heh. But I gotta utilize that towards my comedy, so I gotta figure out a way to just make a little bit of money just to sustain myself from, whether, you know, comedy and just whatever. because it's all I want to do, and I don't need much money, but I'm over waiting tables, and I'm over someone trying to tell me what to do with my time. I don't play that game. Like, I made the point, I said it on the last podcast, but I'll say it again, like, anytime a manager or an employer puts out a work schedule, I view that, and I know this isn't, like, the correct way to view it, but I view their schedule as a request for my time to show up. And when I say I'm not going to be somewhere, that's not me requesting my time off. That's me letting you know that I'm not going to be somewhere. You can't tell me what to do with my time. Like, I think it's been 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago, that I just kind of had this, I guess, revelation in my thinking, where I just kind of changed my outlook on life, that really the only thing I can own in this world, you can own a house or whatever, but you don't really own that house. You're just taking it up. You know, you're just occupying the space for a little bit of time. You don't really own that, because it'll still be here once you're gone. So the only thing I can really own, people will say they can own themselves, but I don't really know what that means either. Like, you own this body, I guess, but do you really? It's like, because again, after you're gone, the body will still be here. This vessel that you occupy right now will still be here. But the only thing that won't be here when I'm gone is my time. Time will still be here. The grand scheme of what time is, you know, existence will still be around, but the time that I occupied will be gone. So I'm going to take that with me. And no one's going to tell me what I can and cannot do with that while I'm here, while I'm using it. You know, you're requesting me give you my time. And I'm happy to do that. But if you're going to tell me that I can't, that what you want me to do with my time is more important than what I want to do, fuck off, man. I don't have time for that bullshit. So I hung out in Kentucky, stayed in a really shitty hotel room, and probably one of the worst hotel rooms I've ever stayed in, with my buddy Monty, while he just snored real loud, and I didn't sleep well at all. But it was I wouldn't have it any other way. It was fun. It was great. We went to Waffle House, and we met this, she was in her early 20s. She was a waitress there, and she's like pregnant with her third kid or something like that. Just in Paducah, Kentucky. I imagine there's not much to do in Paducah. It didn't seem like it. It was a real small town. So this lady's just going to have some babies. And Monty's like, you should go work at that strip club. You'd make some more money. You'd get to provide a better life for that kid. And the truth of it is it's like a fetish. People will pay more for a pregnant stripper than they will a regular stripper. So he's making sense. I couldn't argue that away. But it was a good time in Paducah. Much better than coming back and working for someone that I don't want to work for, because you can't do that with my time. And now I'm looking at this notebook just trying to figure out how I can segue into all this other bullshit that I want to do about why I live in a van. It all has to do with that, though. It all has to do with being able to quit your job because you don't need it, you know? It's really freeing, I think, because I can go anywhere. I always have a place to stay. Like, people talk about the open road. Like, people are like, oh man, you just go, you sort of have a destination, or maybe sometimes you don't, but you're just driving. And I like that. It is very freeing to go, I don't know where I'm going, but I got nowhere to be. But when I get there, I got a place to stay too. Whenever I get there, it's fantastic. I have no bills. I always get kind of sidetracked and a little bit more uptight whenever people just start walking around. And I realize that I'm doing this podcast in like a public place. Like, the last one I did was in a Kroger parking lot. And this one I'm just sitting on a side street by a coffee shop. I'm going to go in there and try and work on some stuff. But it's in a neighborhood, so people are just walking around. So I kind of get tight and will be like a little bit panicky and paranoid when people start walking by. But it's just something I got to get used to, because I just feel like I look like a madman. I feel like I look like an insane person because I got this big white ball microphone that I'm talking into, and I'm sitting in a van that I live in. It doesn't look like something a sane person would be doing, but this is what I like it. I love it. It's so weird. People will judge you differently based off of whether or not you live in a van due to consequence or if it's by choice. Because some people, when they first find out that I live in a van, they're like empathetic. They're like, oh, well, what happened? Something must have went wrong in your life. And it's like, no, everything was pretty fine. Like, I had a place and stuff. I just didn't want to keep doing that. Like, this is a choice. So then they kind of look at you like, what? Like, why? If you don't have to live in a van, why would you live in a van? That seems very crazy. I was cleaning my van at Centennial Park one day, and it was in the summer. And I, like, if it's warm, I like to do a deep cleaning in this thing. Like, I take everything out and reorganize and throw shit away. And it's always, I'm always consolidating when it's warm. Now that it's cold, I'm kind of pack ratting it up. Like, it's just kind of building, just keeping everything in here. Just because it's cold and I don't want to deal with taking everything out right now. But doing the deep cleaning at Centennial Park, and this lady, she's got three kids, and she's just bitching at these kids, just yelling at them. Apparently they pissed her off while they were around the park. She's like, you guys are going to bed when we get home. I'm done with you. All sorts of shit. And she wrangles them into her car, which is right next to my van, and I have my side doors open. I have a minivan. So I got the sliding doors open. I'm a 6'3 dude with a minivan that I live in. See, I just feel like I'm an insane person. Can't help it, but it fits me perfect. So got the side door open, and the back hatch is open and everything. She wrangles up the kids, then she kind of comes around from the passenger side, and she just looks at me, and she's like, hey, things will get better. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, things will get better. And I was like, I don't think, what did I say? I was something along the lines of, oh, I don't want them to get better. This is my choice. I enjoy this. And she just kind of looked at me really confused. And I was like, yeah, I do comedy. And I think this is an easy way to travel. And then she's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And then she just left. She was like, things will get better. She just looked at me really weird. Like, when she first came up and said things will get better, her eyes told a different story. There was more like, emotion, openness, maybe? I think, yeah, like, because she felt something for me. She felt bad for me. She could put herself up and go, I'm taking care of somebody, but just by saying this, like, this person knows I care about them, and I'm a good person because I'm looking out for people. So her eyes were, like, very open and caring, and then I was like, no, this is my choice. Like, this is what I do. Like, it's almost like a reptilian shapeshifter sort of thing. Look that up on YouTube and watch them blink. It's fun. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's a lot of fun. But her eyes just, like, pupil changed, like, glassed over, like, became shut off, like, very guarded all of a sudden. It was like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, something must be wrong with him. And maybe there is, but I don't think see a couple people walking up again. I start getting a little squirrely, a little worried. We're going to get real comfortable doing this one day. The dogs are so cute. Hi, little puppy. Aw, they're adorable. Dogs are great. They're fun. Oh, just shitting in somebody's yard. The idea of walking around with a bag of shit in your hand doesn't seem fun. That seems crazier than living in a van to me, is you just walk by everybody you know in your neighborhood with a big bag of Duke in your hand. And that's, like, normal. That's accepted as normal. But I'm on the outskirts of society because I keep pickle jars full of pee in my own van. That's not fair. I think it should go across the board for everybody. Equal rights for me and dogs. I want to be treated just the same and looked at just as normal as somebody walking around with a bag of dog poop in their hand. That's all I want. That's all I'm going for in life, is to just be accepted as these freaks are accepted. She's probably sniffing it. Oh, she's sticking her nose deep in there. She's loving it. Oh, my God. She's taking it out and she's rubbing it all over her titties. She's rubbing her dog shit on her titties. Oh, my God. She's loving it. Oh, now she's laying down in the yard. Her pants are coming off. Oh, my goodness. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
We interrupt this program to bestow knowledge.
Feeling lonely?
Yeah, I feel lonely.
Out of touch?
I'm out of touch.
Insecure?
I'm insecure.
Lost in the world?
I feel lost.
Do you wake up feeling as if your life is meaningless and there's no way to go on?
There ain't no way I can do nothing ever.
Depression can be a serious struggle, but there's hope.
Hope, you say?
In the form of
powerful psychedelic doses.
That's right, the substances that the DEA considers highly dangerous, DMT, LSD, and psilocybin mushrooms, may have a positive effect on your life. Just ask John.
See, my name is John. I was feeling shitty about myself. And then I took some mushrooms and decided that, you know what? I just got some shitty friends around me and I don't like working at Mickey D's. So I quit that shit and just fucking moved, dawg. Straight up. Thanks, mushroom.
Psychedelics. Kid tested. Mother approved.
I don't know what happened there. Kind of saw that lady picking up poop and just kind of went down a deep, deep, dark hole. And I can't be doing that. I'm trying to be professional here. I'm trying to get my life going. I'm trying to make people understand me or something. I have no idea. But people look at you weird if you tell them that you live in a van by choice. But if you're a victim of circumstance, they seem to feel a little bit strangers anyway. Your friends, they'll look at you like you're an idiot either way, no matter what you do. That's what makes them your friends. That's what makes them good people, is because they go, no matter what you do, you're always an asshole. And I'm like, that's what I like about you. You're consistent. That's what I need in my life. I don't need these people that are going to bullshit me. I need some people to know that I'm an asshole no matter what I do. Those are the best friends to have. You know they aren't going to build you up. But they'll beat you down in a heartbeat. No, I'm just kidding. Some of the best, I have great friends, and I love them dearly. But it is true. You got to have people just go, you're being an asshole. I feel like I should have just kept with that bit instead of bailing on it. I go, no, everybody's real nice. I'm getting rambly, and I don't know what's going on now. The biggest decision, well, there's been a couple, I think, decisions that kind of have made me want to live in my van. The first one was the freedom. It's just being able to do stuff, not having the bills, not having the anchor. Because what happened was I was living in a place, and it was in the attic. Like, it wasn't a great room. It was a fine place on the west side of Nashville. But I was paying $500 a month. I think it was $400 for the room, and then utilities ran up, whatever. But I was never there. But spending the money for rent, spending the $400 plus whatever for utilities, I wasn't staying there much. Like, I'd go out, I'd go to work, and then I'd go and hang out at coffee shops all day. Or if I didn't have to work, I'd just get up early and go to coffee shops. And then at night, you're doing mics, you're hanging out, you're playing pool, you know, whatever. Like, I couldn't justify spending $500 a month for a place to sleep, especially if I want to do comedy. Like, you don't get paid much to do comedy, not starting out anyway. It takes a while to build, I feel like, any sort of positive income with comedy. And I've made a little bit of money this past year doing comedy, but I don't have the figures, but I'm pretty sure I'm in the red, like, in just with driving and everything. And, you know, sometimes you got to pay for a hotel, but now I don't have to pay for a hotel. I can just stay wherever. You know, the gig doesn't have to pay that well, and I can still be fine, or pay at all. I can just go do gigs if I'm willing to take the hit, which people have to do anyway. And if you're willing to take that hit, and then you got to come home and pay bills, you got to pay rent, you know, that's when people can't do comedy anymore, because the money, it becomes too much to even just go somewhere and do a show, even though you know you're not going to get paid, or what you're going to pay to get it. What you're going to get paid isn't going to be that great. And you got gas and you got food and you got to find a place to stay. So I was like, oh, if I don't have rent, that's an extra $500 a month I'm saving. If I make a bed, if I make a place to sleep, then I can just drive, saving money on hotels, you know. And I got a gym membership. I'll go there to shower. It's a Planet Fitness. It's one of the best things because it's real cheap. So my water bill's like $20 a month, and I can use anyone in the country. They have two types of memberships. One is $10 a month, and you can use the one club, or you can pay like $3 every time you go to a different one. Or you just pay $20 a month, and you can use any club you want. So it's like, I got a shower, I got a place to sleep, and I don't have bills to come back to. There can't be anything. This is how I'm going to have to make comedy work. I feel like if everybody who wanted to do comedy, after like a year and a half, 2 years in, just moved into a vehicle. Some of the people I see around and I feel are great I feel like they would have figured something else out about how to make comedy work, because always having something to fall back on, whether it be a job or like a comfortable place to stay, I think sometimes that makes people try less, or maybe not try less, but there's a certain aspect of thinking that goes into really fucking yourself, like putting yourself at the bottom of the barrel to the point where you have, there's no other option but then to figure it out for yourself. You got to put the puzzle together and you got to figure it out, because you can't go any lower. You know, it's like, I want to do comedy, but I also want to keep my 40-hour week job because it pays me, you know, 50 grand a year. I want to keep the house I have. I want to get a new car. And it's like all that shit, it's like cushion. You don't have to invest everything into comedy, because you can go, this is a fun thing, and if something works out, great. But if not, I have the job, you know. I can always fall back on these other things that I've built. Whereas I've just cut the fucking floor out, and I go, there's nothing to fall back on. Because I've worked, I had a career. I don't know, some people know this, but I don't know if a lot of people do. I had a career. I worked in radio for 7 years. I started out when I was like 19, doing an internship. An intern shit should be more like it. Fucking working so many hours a week and never getting paid. But it got my foot in the door to then be like a part-time on-air dude. And that's how I got out of Michigan, was through radio, through budget cuts at a radio station and not having anything to do but just taking a chance and moving to upstate New York, up to Utica, with a guy that I worked with at the radio station. That's how that happened. My first move out of Michigan happened from a radio, not even a radio job. He had a job, but he just wanted somebody to go and like co-host the morning show or like help produce. I really think he just wanted somebody to be there with him because he'd never really moved. He was 30, never moved out. And so I went. I didn't have anything to lose. You know, I didn't have a job or anything. So I went up there, and we were only there for a month and a half. We were doing this morning show, and I wasn't getting paid. And then I moved down to Maryland and started working at a traffic network. Was doing part-time there, making great money. Was part of a union, made fantastic money, got hired full-time. Was making great money, had my own place, had a big place, like right on the edge of D.C. Had all the weed I wanted. But it's like, this isn't it. There's something that's not right about this for me. And it was all like, so I just cut. I had health benefits. I had everything. And I just kept getting rid of it. I got rid of that to move to Maui with my girlfriend at the time and learn how to grow food and like hike and ride a bicycle around and did some carpentry work, like learned life skills. Cause I was like, this DC shit, this job, all these health benefits, I'm miserable. I don't like any of this. And this is what I have to look forward to until I'm fucking 60. No, this ain't right. So I wanted to figure out a different way to live. And I thought, like, off the grid, like if I just grow my own food and can learn how to build shit, like that'll be fun. And then kind of started doing that, was doing that on Maui, and life was great. But again, so there was something in me that wasn't right. Like, I was like, this could be great. This would be perfect at some point in time in my life. But right now, there's something I want to do with my life. And that was really when I decided to come back to Nashville, or come to Nashville and start doing comedy. I came back to a radio job, another radio job. I was the assistant promotions director, another salary job. Had my own place again. And then I came back in November of 2012 and started doing comedy in January of 2013. And I think by May of 2013, I left that job. You know, so I left one salary job to go to Maui, and then I left the other salary job because I was tired of it taking up my day and my mental energy, and I wanted to do comedy. So I've really just kept throwing shit away. Every time something good came my way, I got rid of it. I kept getting rid of it because I wanted to figure out who I am, I guess, and what do I really want to do. And since I started doing comedy and I've really committed to it, it's been the only thing I've really been able to commit to. I did the radio thing for 7 years, but really the longest I had like was at one radio station. I think it was like 2 years, a year and a half in DC. Comedy's been the only thing that I've done consistently for 3 years. It's been the only thing. It's been the only thing I've been able to do that with. And that registers. That means something to me. It's like, this is the most fun thing in the world, and I love this, and I want to figure out how to make it work. And to figure out, or how to make it work for me, is living in a fucking van and trying to save some money so I could do this bullshit, just so I could not have to go wait tables or sit in some fucking office and waste away, you know? I want to tell jokes, make people happy, make them uncomfortable sometimes, just goof off and have fun. That's all I want to do. I'm not trying to fucking enlighten anybody. I'm still trying to enlighten myself. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to tell people what the world is like. I can tell you what the world's like to me. It's fucking confusing, you know? People picking up dog shit and just carrying it around in a bag, just walking around their whole neighborhood for fucking an hour. Just a bag of shit in your hand. That's normal. That's confusing to me. It's a piece of turd. Just let it rot away. Nobody plays in their fucking yard anyway. Nobody really has a yard to play in. Just let it soak into the ground and become dirt. That's why we have sinkholes, people. It's not enough. The ground's not getting enough turd nutrients. That's why all these sinkholes are popping up. The ground's rotting away. Fill it up with turds. We'll save. It'll. You could plant food there. Just let it go. It's confusing to me. And I know I don't sound very smart. I'm not very smart. But I know if you put poop in the ground, it is good for plants. I do know that. That's one thing I know. And I'm not going to talk about nitrogen and phosphate and the phosphate. I can't even say the fucking thing. I'm not going to talk about all that stuff. I keep it simple. A turd in the ground will build a mound of food. That's all I know. And that's what I'm sticking with. Great times. Great times living in the van. I love it. Why would I want to do it? I feel like I've said why. I feel like I've made it perfectly clear why I want to live in my van. I feel like the mission's accomplished. I'm going to keep pumping these out. I think the next one I'm going to do of these is going to be a... I did one thing that I recorded with my buddy Josh Lewis. It's a podcast. The original idea was to call it Bad Decisions, and the basis of the podcast was going to be me and somebody else, and we drink a 40 of beer, and we just talk about shitty things we've done in life, times we fucked up and hopefully learned from. But it never really took off. But I have this one episode, this one great episode with Josh Lewis, so I think I'm going to relaunch that as part of the Van Chronicles, and we're going to keep this going. This is fun. I'm enjoying doing this. I hope people listen and enjoy listening to it, and if you did, great. With a little music at the beginning is a band called Dirty Heads. I love them very much. The song is called Drifting. Check them out. It's all available on iTunes and all that shit, so you can find it. It'll be fun. Thanks for checking it out, guys. I appreciate your time. Enjoy your life, as always. Drifting.